Back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, and I am now here with Executive Director of Pawnee Mental Health, Robin Cole. Robin, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's warming up.
It is warming up. I'm so excited. It's 54 days till spring.
54.
That's what I heard on the news this morning.
That really doesn't sound like it's that far away.
No,
when you think
no.
About it.
The days go by really fast.
They do. And we only got these 60-degree temperatures for really, I think, just a couple more days. And then kind of, I mean, as long as it's nothing like those first few weeks of this month were, you know, I can deal with the mid-30s and 40s and those sort of things.
Yeah, I'm good for that. That'd work for me.
All right. Well, it was a lot of interesting stuff with Pawnee Mental Health. As always, it's never boring at Pawnee Mental Health. And what goes on there, you had our future governor
That's right. And that was really quite an honor for us. Lieutenant Governor Jeff Collier visited Pawnee Mental Health Services. It was a week ago today. And he actually visited three community mental health centers on Thursday. He visited Family Service and Guidance in Topeka and Burton Ash in Lawrence. And this was part of his initiative just to get to know the community mental health centers a little bit better, understand what our concerns are, and then to also take an opportunity just to hear what it is that we're doing, you know, that we have to celebrate. And so it was a really good opportunity for us to address some of those kinds of issues. We, of course, we've all been waiting and watching to see whether Governor Brownback's nomination as Ambassador-at-Large for International Freedom would be confirmed, and what impact that would have on Lieutenant Governor Jeff Collier's future. And then, so of course, we found out yesterday that Brownback's nomination was confirmed, which then sets the stage for Lieutenant Governor Collier to be seated as governor of Kansas. So it was a good opportunity for us. Excellent timing. I don't know that we've ever had that kind of an opportunity to meet with the governor or with a future governor as we had last week.
Well, when it comes to mental health in the state, it's been an issue that local leaders, state leaders have been talking about, especially in our area, quite a bit over the past few years, especially when it comes to funding for mental health.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if those discussions were had with Lieutenant Governor Jeff Collier and kind of what his ideas were on that.
You know, we did talk some about the funding of community mental health, and I pointed out to him just the negative impact that having our state grant funding cut has had on our organization and on community mental health centers across the state. Between 2009 and 2011, grant funding from the state was cut by 50%, which translated directly into fewer services for people who are uninsured. You know, I suppose the good news for this coming legislative session is that, you know, in his State of the State address, the governor issued a budget that didn't cut any of the community mental health center funding. And we did, last legislative session, see a return of about half of the dollars that were taken out of the system during that 2009 to 2011 time period. And so we feel optimistic about the fact that the governor's budget doesn't recommend any reductions in our funding. But we're also very nervously watching what is going to happen with the budget that calls for $600 million more dollars in school funding. The way that the legislature chooses to deal with that issue could have an impact on not only community mental health centers, but on other organizations and entities that receive state funding, depending on what they decide to do.
Brady Bowman here with Robin Cole, the Executive Director of Pawnee Mental Health here in Manhattan, and serving, how many counties does Pawnee serve?
Pawnee Mental Health serves 10 counties in north central Kansas. Riley County is the most densely populated of the 10 counties that we serve. We serve Pottawatomie County, Marshall County as well. And then to the west and the north, we serve Geary County, Clay County, Washington, Republic, Jewell, Cloud, and Mitchell counties.
And a reminder, phone lines are open, 75-537-1350. And Robin, I do want to go back to what you're just talking about with that $600 million that Governor Brownback mentioned in his State of the State address a few weeks ago. And the big concern with that, I'm sure from your perspective, is how is that going to be paid for? And if they're just going to borrow it, and that was such a thing with a lot of local leaders, and our local leaders expressed, no matter the party, Democrat, Republican, they all had a lot of the same criticisms of that, just because, you know, what's the funding direction on that? Are you going to borrow when the state has been borrowing a lot of money over the past few years? I'm sure there's not much of an appetite for that in Topeka. Or is there going to be some cutting involved to make up for that? And I'm sure that's probably where the concern is from Pawnee's perspective.
Yes. Well, and I'm hearing from our legislators that there's not much of an appetite for any significant cuts to the budget from non-education, you know, line items. There's, as I've understood it, there have been three kind of ideas or directions that the state could go. You know, part of that might include amending the Constitution so that the Supreme Court doesn't have the kind of authority or control over this issue that they do right now. There's also that option of raising taxes to come up with that extra $600 million. But I don't think that anyone really believes that that's likely to occur, at least not significantly, because there's not a lot of appetite right now for that idea of raising taxes. But there really is no more appetite for cutting the budget to the degree that it would need to be cut in order to make up for that $600 million. And the number I've heard is that it would require about an 18% cut across the budget in order to make up for that $600 million. That kind of a cut would be potentially devastating to community mental health services across the state. So we're watching this very closely, and it is it's a significant concern. Again, not only for us, but I think for all human service providers across the state who look to the state for some funding.
And that 18% number, I've heard that number as well, and that's over the general budget, and that's a big number there when you're talking about the general budget and talking about the dollar figures there. And this is a concern because when it comes to mental health and facilities and those sort of things, there's not really any state-ran facilities, or at least not an abundance of state-ran facilities, especially at the very local level. There's some regional facilities here and there, but when it comes to the local level, the burden's really put on the shoulders of facilities like Pawnee.
Mm-hmm. The way the system is set up, you know, we have two state psychiatric hospitals, one in Osawatomie and the other in Larned. And as you know, the state hospital in Osawatomie had lost its certification by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services because of overcrowding and unsafe conditions that were determined in the winter of 2015 and 16. The state has since corrected those issues, and in fact, Osawatomie State Hospital was recertified by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in December of this last year. And so what that's meant is a return of about $1 million in federal funding to the state system for Osawatomie State Hospital. But the community mental health centers across the state, and there are 26 of them, and all 26, or the 26 mental health centers serve all 105 counties across the state. But their portion of state funding relative to their overall budget has diminished in recent years, and certainly in the time frame in which I've been executive director of Pawnee Mental Health. And so local county government has to take a big lead in terms of providing funding for the community mental health system, which is still the designated mental health authority in the counties across the state of Kansas. And it's the institution that provides 24/7 emergency services and emergency screens to anybody who's in an acute psychiatric situation who may need to be hospitalized. whether that hospitalization is on a voluntary basis or on an involuntary basis.
If we have any first-time listeners who maybe aren't familiar with Pawnee Mental Health and the way it's set up, how much of the funding for Pawnee Mental Health is dependent on state and federal dollars?
We receive less state and federal money than we did when the community mental health system was first established. It's a much smaller portion than it used to be. In the early days, I think it was as high as 80% of the funding of community mental health was through state and federal grants. That over time has shifted considerably, so that now we're really a fee-for-service kind of a model. Most of our revenue, most of the funding that we get is from the fees that we generate off of the services that we provide. And as a community mental health center, we're responsible to provide services to people regardless of their ability to pay, which means then that a significant portion of the people that we serve are individuals who don't have any health insurance at all, or individuals who have Medicaid, Medicare, and TRICARE, which are government-sponsored health insurance plans that a lot of times other mental health providers are not providing as many services to those individuals who have those coverages. And so the revenue that we can generate and the fees that we can generate for the services that we provide are less than if we didn't have that statutory obligation to provide services regardless of ability to pay. So it makes our county funding critical to our sustainability. It makes state funding critical to our financial sustainability. And as we've seen, especially state funding diminish in recent years, it's pointed us in the direction of needing to really look to private funds to help offset the difference between what it costs to provide services and what we're able to generate in fees for the services that we provide.
And that's really such a difficult situation. Facilities like Pawnee are kind of put in, right? Because if it's not 80% with the state and federal funding anymore, and you're so dependent on fees for services, the problem is, when as far as your clientele, what you're dealing with, I mean, like you said, the odds of your clientele not having health insurance are probably pretty high. Poverty is probably a problem with that, of just not being able to pay anyway. And it really seems like it just kind of puts facilities like Pawnee in almost kind of a no-win situation sometimes, at least the way it's set up right now.
Well, and Kansas is one of, I believe it was 19 states that chose to not expand the Medicaid program. And so, the impact of that on our organization is that individuals who may be in another state would be eligible for Medicaid are more likely uninsured as they're requesting services from our organization. And again, it's not just the community mental health system, but it would be uninsured individuals who are needing hospital care, uninsured individuals who are needing dental care, who are needing primary health care. And what's interesting, though, is I understand that as our nation and our state are looking at implementing some work requirements in the Medicaid program, that appears to be having the impact of causing some states that chose not to expand Medicaid to relook at whether or not the circumstances are more favorable to Medicaid expansion. And last year in the state legislature, there were enough votes in Kansas to expand the Medicaid program. But you may remember that the governor overrode the vote to expand Medicaid in the state of Kansas.
Vetoed, yeah.
Yes, vetoed it. And so but as I was saying, I read an article just last night that was talking about how this new potential work requirement for the Medicaid program may encourage states who did not expand Medicaid to relook at that. So we're kind of expecting that the legislature may look at that again this year. I think there are some individuals who would prefer not to reopen that can of worms, and then there, of course, are others who really would like to see that reopened.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's talk more about that on the other side of the break. Come back and talk more with Robin Cole of Pawnee Mental Health right here on News Radio KMAN.
When catastrophe hits and your home or office is damaged, get 24/7 response from Restore of the Heart.